listening to Fox Sports Radio.
We start today with the NBA All-Star Game, where Team LeBron beat Team Giannis 178-164 in Charlotte last night. Kevin Durant was named the game's MVP. So, RJ, what is the Vegas perspective on what we saw last night in Charlotte?
Well, I lost my total bet. Let's start there. I mean, the real priority, you know, the old saying is it's funny when someone breaks their leg and it's sad when I stub my toe. So had a loser on that one, but boy, the total. We talked about how the over-under points moved drastically, opened up at 327, got bet down. Even some people coming back from Valentine's Day kept betting it down to 311. Now think about that, 327 all the way to 311. And then the limits go up. People say, ooh, maybe an overreaction. Bet up to 316. So still well down from the open, but late money on the over. And it went way, way over. And boy, another example, I think, of how do we want to explain this? It's demoralizing. Because what was the assumption on the under? The assumption was, oh, they're picking up teams. Pride's on the line. I get this is their one game in 6 or 7 days. Maybe they could play some defense for 48 minutes. Well, they did it 1 year. Lo and behold, it was too much. Don't ask us to actually do that a second straight year. And until late in the game, not much defense, way over the total. Steve Fezzik in studio, you are an NBA originator. Your bets come from your expertise. You think the three-pointers we saw are very telling.
Yes, it was raining threes in the All-Star game. RJ, 62 for 167 for both teams. 61%.
62 three attempts or makes?
Makes. 167 makes. Attempts. Think about this. They're making like 1.5 threes every minute of playing time, back and forth, up and down the court. Over 60% of the shots taken were three-point shots. Let's put this in perspective. Last year's All-Star game, only 50% of the shots were taken from three, and during the regular season, 35% of the shots taken are from three.
Okay, so a lot of numbers. So let's just go through those numbers one more time.
Yeah, so in the All-Star game, 61% of the shots taken.
All right, so of every shot taken, over 60% three-point land yesterday's game.
Yes.
All right, continue.
Last year's All-Star game, half the shots
okay.
from three.
So in theory, more defense, more intensity.
Yes, and during the regular season, only 35%.
All right, so over 60 in this one game without the defense, because it was too much to ask for a second year in a row, and then 35% normally, a little more than one out of three. Now, when we were thinking about this topic, I thought, huh, there must be a correlation between defense or the lack thereof and attempts at three. So we looked and said, okay, what's the regular season this year? You mentioned 35% of attempts from three. Well, what about last year's playoffs? Because playoffs are where the games matter most. You can be eliminated. That's where the defense is supposed to be. Well, there was actually more threes percentage-wise taken in the playoffs last year, 35.6% versus 35. So a smidge more, but still more. So, wow, so if it's not defense, what is it? Well, maybe it's just this macro progression where it's just going to be more and more and more threes. Now, you can make the case maybe the winning teams, the smarter teams, the Golden States, the Houstons, they're at the forefront of this revolution, this direction of more threes, and thus in the playoffs, there's more of those smart teams. So I think defense to some degree is going to limit the number of threes, but boy, the propensity to shoot a three, the desire for those winning teams, those advanced analytical teams, is to shoot a bunch of threes.
Exactly right. And the poster child, RJ, this year has been the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks are great. They're number one in the East right now. How did they get so good? Well, this year, they're taking the second most threes in the NBA under Budenholzer. Last year, they were below average in terms of the rate of threes taken. Completely different offensive strategy for Milwaukee, and it has paid off big.
So what you're saying is the coach last year had an old school mentality. We can still remember, some would say, at least he's in the debate, the greatest coach of all time, Phil Jackson. I wouldn't put him as the greatest, but he's in the conversation. I mean, he doesn't have enough hands for all his rings. He's got to wear them on chains, on his toes. But what was one of the problems with the Knicks? He wanted to play the triangle. He wanted that old school basketball. Jason Kidd, who is supposedly rumored to be one of the leaders potentially for the Lakers, also, you know, is a sign with Milwaukee, didn't like the three. So what you're saying fundamentally, Steve Fezzik, and I'm RJ Bell, we are Straight out of Vegas, talking about the aftermath. What did we learn from the NBA All-Star game? You're saying it's not just, oh, the league's moving that direction. You can look at a team like the Milwaukee Bucks and say, really, what's changed between last year and this year? Giannis a year older. At his age, that's a good thing. But otherwise, what's really changed? Now, setting aside the inclination, propensity to shoot threes. Anything else?
I think that that is it. And I think a lot of the players were not encouraged to take threes 2 years ago, last year, and this year. That has become a complete point of emphasis.
And it can really be very instructive. The idea of, you know, we always talk about, you know, some guys out there, Elon Musk talks about it. If you want to have your mind blown, check out Elon Musk on YouTube, Elon Musk, The Simulation. And there's there's probably multiple ones where he believes, or at least he thinks there's a high possibility that we're living in a computer simulation, that we're, none of us are alive. There is no mansion and yacht in this simulation, that it's all some computer, that eventually a society before us got so intelligent that we're like a game that they're observing. Almost like the Truman Show kind of thing. But we're not even alive. We're an algorithm, right? So I don't know about all that. But in the simulation, the theory is, oh, okay, we could create a little sub-simulation where Milwaukee this year, same players, doesn't shoot as many threes. And what we're saying is, well, since there hasn't really been that much difference between these two teams, last year's Milwaukee team and this year, but one, this year's, they're shooting a bunch of threes, and you consider Milwaukee to now be great, is probably another sign that the three-point shooting is the most efficient.
And Milwaukee copied off of Houston, who had the best record last year, and I expect teams going forward are now going to copy off of Houston and Milwaukee. We're just going to see more three-point shooting.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Pregame.com's info and research did a little something, and this is what we checked out. Here's the last 3 years, counting this year, of Westbrook's stat line. Now, I think it's important to realize that the quote today from Colin on The Herd was, Westbrook is a shell of himself, a shell of a player. Okay, that's the assumption, the assertion from Colin Cowherd. Now, 3 years ago, Westbrook, 31 points, 10.7 rebounds, 10.4 assists. Okay, so the first triple-double averaged in a season since Oscar Robinson, when JFK was president, 1961-62. Okay, we could say, oh, the pace of the game is faster. There's been many times throughout those decades and decades and decades, the pace of the game was faster than it was a couple years ago. All right, so the first ever. And what happens? The league acknowledges. They say, wowza, you win the MVP. That is the best anyone can imagine. Okay. The next year, the stat line, 25 points. Now, this is last year. 10.1 rebounds, 10.3 assists. Okay. So put down in points about, well, 6.5 or so, and down a little bit on the other ones. But now, the second time since JFK was president, Oscar Robertson, someone averages a triple-double. Oh, by the way, no other player in the NBA in either year averaged a triple-double. This isn't one of those NFL, you know, oh, for 4,000 yards, first player for that team. Yeah, but nine other people have done it this year, too. It's a fundamental change in the game. Well, no one else is doing it. Oh, by the way, who is the player that people say, well, he can't really shoot all that well, but boy, the other things. Ooh, Ben Simmons. Okay, Ben Simmons this year, 16 points, 9 rebounds, 7.9 assists. Okay, now, this year, the year that Westbrook is a shell of himself, to quote Colin Cowherd, almost 22 points, 11.2 rebounds, 11.2 assists. So a couple things here. One, Westbrook has this year almost 6 more points a game than Simmons, over 2 more rebounds a game, and over 3 more assists a game. But Ben Simmons is what? Where's Ben Simmons today? Not potential, Steve Fezzik, NFL and NBA expert, but today, where's Ben Simmons at on your list?
He is borderline top 20.
Okay. And now you say, okay, imagine a player. Close your eyes unless you're driving. Imagine that you have that Ben Simmons, but this player has more than 5 points a game more than 3 or 2 rebounds a game more, and more than 3 assists a game more. But that guy, he's a shell of himself. Now, I get it. I get that you watch the games, and it feels like there's some selfishness. I also get the fact that it's kind of, I don't know, it's not rude. It just is something people don't react well to if you seem to be, as a player, even aware of stats, even cognizant of stats. Like, in a way, we want the stats as fans to matter to us, but we don't want the stats to matter to them. Remember the sack record and Brett Favre, and he went down. That felt, oh, it soiled it. Right. So if Westbrook is saying, oh, I've got a triple double streak, get me the ball late because, well, I'm going to get you the ball because I need an assist. It feels, you know, unclean in a way. I'll accept that. I'll also accept that he's shooting a lot of shots and his efficiency shooting the ball isn't great. And if somehow Westbrook took 20 or 30% less shots and averaged 15 or 16 points, but still averaged over 11 rebounds and assists, that he probably would be a more efficient player. But this guy is on pace to do something 3 times that hasn't been done in 50 plus years by anybody else. Think about that. And this is supposed to be the triple-double stat line is what made Magic Johnson Magic Johnson. A lot of youngsters might not remember. There was a time triple-doubles weren't even counted. And then Magic started having them, and some genius, and I mean that literally with no sarcasm, said, oh, this would be a cool name, a triple-double. I messed around and got a triple-double. And why? Because it's like you can do it all. There's nothing you can't do. But somehow, some way, a stat, which is supposed to be a sign of an all-around player, that this player is achieving, Russell Westbrook, Collins' nemesis, is achieving on pace for the 3rd straight year a triple-double average that no one's done in 50-plus years. Now, I'm going to open it up to questions. Jonas, Brad, Fezzik, the people from Canada, I don't care. Someone make this case. Someone even defend in any way how Westbrook can get anything that's worse than, wow, that's amazing, but. Like, if someone wants to say that's amazing, but, and the but doesn't completely mitigate the that's amazing part, I'm okay with that. But you got to start with that's amazing. Jonas, thoughts?
Listen, the triple-double, the streak, the fact that he averaged a triple-double is...
No, he didn't average a triple-double. Well, he averaged a triple-double, then he averaged a triple-double,
yeah.
And now he's averaging a triple-double.
Yeah, and the fact that he's doing that, you can try and knock it down a peg by saying, well, you know, they're letting him get a rebound here or there. He really cares about it. Regardless, that is a tough-as-hell task to do. The fact that he's done it multiple years in a row and on pace to do it again is amazing to me, so I don't understand all of the criticism.
And we don't even have to abstractly think it's tough, right? Like, if someone's never done the clean and jerk lift, and we say, wow, you know, maybe 500 pounds would be a lot, and we can guess, and then we see someone who looks really big, and he does it, we could say, yeah, that was probably an accomplishment. No. When Bannister broke the 4-minute mile, through the history of mankind, no one broke the 4-minute mile, then someone did. Objectively, that was one of a kind.
Yeah.
And the idea that it's been 50 plus years and now someone's done it not once, not twice, but on pace for a third time, we don't even have to make it an abstract. That's amazing. It's unparalleled. What Russell Westbrook is doing is unparalleled.
And I think it's making Westbrook a much better player, this emphasis on getting assists. Think about this. He knows he's going to get 10 points. The hard part is getting the 10 rebounds and the 10 assists. What was the criticism of Westbrook a few years back when he was averaging over 30 points? He's a ball hog. He shoots too much. Now he wants to keep the triple-doubles going, but that means he's looking to set his teammates up.
Fezzik, that is a great point, because you could say just thinking about the stats at all is a distraction, but if the stats that are the more difficult to come by, rebounds and assists, are the ones that you might be thinking more about, maybe that's not a bad thing. And we talked about it a couple of times last week. When Westbrook has a triple-double, they win the games almost double as much, Oklahoma City, than when he doesn't. Any thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, 76% of the time is how often they win when he gets a triple-double. It's less than 50 when he doesn't get a triple-double. Obviously, Westbrook getting these is good for the team.
And the fact that his shooting percentages have gone down and he is struggling shooting the ball, you cannot deny that, but that he's still producing in those other areas. There are so many players out there throughout the history of sports that if they're not getting their points, they'll melt down and just call it a day anywhere else on the court. He's not. He's still putting up numbers everywhere else, even though he's struggling from the field.
The reality is, talk radio is built for simplicity. It's built for bombast. But the fact of the matter is, you can have fun, you can have some bombast, but if it's wrong, what's the point of any of it? And anyone who's not starting with Westbrook's doing something and has done something amazing, I think it's plain wrong.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.